Few realize that the history of modern astronomy on Haleakala began in the 1950s. The very first telescope was completed in 1958 and used for satellite tracking. By 1961, 18 acres of ceded land at the summit were set aside for astronomy, becoming the Haleakala High Altitude Observatory site, with the University of Hawaii as owner-manager. Currently, there are 10 facilities on the mountain, over 17 telescopes, and another, a cutting-edge solar telescope, is underway. The sun is already hot here, 10,000 feet in the air. Clouds ring Haleakala at the inversion layer, about 3,000 feet below us. Here at Haleakala High Altitude Observatory, or HO, construction's underway for the Daniel K. Inouye Solar Telescope. It's called the DKIST.
What you're seeing here is, we are 90%, maybe a little further to the height.
Brett Simison is DKIST construction manager.
The next piece starts to bring the curve over. What you're seeing there is the arch beam. So you're seeing it at just about full height right now.
It's too big. We can't do anything. It's too late. No.
Kahele Dukalo teaches at UH Maui College. We're on Haleakala to visit the two altars created for cultural practitioners here on observatory grounds.
When you stand up for what is right, I think that it's such an important thing.
Dukalo and fellow cultural practitioner Trinette Furtado were among the estimated 200 who held a vigil at the DKIST base yard recently. They prevented delivery of materials to the construction site.
It is still not okay. It is still HEPA. Wow. We got to make a stand.
Right now, the focus is on completing the buildings to the facility.
Joe McMullen is DKIST's project manager. He's just flown in for about a week to facilitate next steps in the construction.
Right now, they're putting on roof panels onto the building and working on some supports and trusses for the dome structure.
McMullen says a ship in a bottle analogy fits here because once the structure's complete, they'll begin inserting the telescope and its parts.
Basically, there's the telescope mount itself, which houses most of the optical mechanisms that collect and then refocus and transmit the light. So we have five first light instruments, and each of these is providing a piece of information and all assembled that then leads to this deeper understanding of the energy within the sun and how it all can possibly be predicted.
They keep wanting to talk to us about, well, what do you want? It's like, well, it's quite simple. We don't want this up here. You know.
Dukalo says she and other Native Hawaiians have been consistent with their message since the beginning of the consultative process for the telescope in the early 2000s.
Well, maybe to be very clear, there was a permit issued.
In December 2010, the Board of Land and Natural Resources, BLNR, issued a permit for the DKIST. That permit was revoked after a lawsuit, however, because it was granted in advance of the contested case hearing. That hearing was held, but the hearing officer was disqualified due to ex parte communication, that is, contact from outside parties, including a representative of Senator Daniel Inouye. In 2012, a second hearing officer recommended granting the permit.
We did not begin construction until after that contested case had been cleared and the second permit issued. And at that point, we had fulfilled all of the state and federal obligations and were allowed to begin construction.
The DKIST broke ground in December 2012.
And the whole legal process, we always lose. Right? It's not set up for us to win. It's just set up for a process so that they can say, we consulted, there's a mitigation, we move on. And we're saying, nope.
An appeal challenging the second BLNR permit is now before the Hawaii Supreme Court, where oral arguments were held in April. The recorded hearing is fascinating. Attorney Lisa Munger represents the University of Hawaii, which is proposing the DKIST project. David Frankel of the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation represents Kila Kila o Haleakala, the appellant. At one point, Chief Justice Mark Rechtenwald questions how the environmental impact statement's findings relate to granting the permit.
Coming back to the question of how we get from an EIS that says there's a major impact to a order of the board that says there's no substantial impact, what is your take of the relevance of the notion that this is somehow a cumulative?
Justice Rechtenwald raises the concept of cumulative impact.
Is that what the board was finding? Is that a legitimate thing? Mr. Frankel says we're rewarding the sort of rampant development by saying, well, there's already been this much development. What's the big deal about having one more building? What's your take on that?
First, I think the board importantly found that an EIS is an informational document.
Munger points out the EIS is informational only and does record objections to the DKIST project as well as to other facilities on Haleakala.
We've been through all of that. We've been through the consultation, mitigation. It's worthless. Nothing has come of it.
Except the fact that we can say we've
been through it. There's years and years and years of conversation and court cases, and still it persists.
This process began almost a decade ago.
Lisa Munger.
And encompassed three very important public review processes. The first, of course, being the programmatic agreement, Section 106 process. And Kila Kila participated.
In 2008, for example, National Science Foundation representatives met with representatives of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, Kila Kila o Haleakala, the State Historic Preservation Office, the National Park Service, and others for input before officially proposing the solar telescope. Minutes show Native Hawaiian attendees repeatedly voiced concern over not being heard. Kahele Dukala.
There's a few developments on this mountain, and I think they can be gone. I think with a plan, we can dismantle them and return the top of this mountain to what it should be. That's what we want.
Meanwhile, Joe McMullen says DKIST, the National Park Service, DLNR, UH, and Maui Police are consulting on next steps after the recent protest vigil that stopped delivery of construction materials.
I think we have to expect that that could recur. And so we have to come up with a plan with these various groups to make sure that everyone's safety is protected and that we're able to transport the materials to the summit.
As Supreme Court justices continue their deliberations, we can return to the April hearing, where justices asked why mitigations arrived at after years of consultation do not satisfy the appellant. More on that in our next installment. Noe Tanigawa, HPR News.